But most people think you could definitely have Chiyuvei Shabbos without Tashlumei Nezek, especially for Adam. And that would motivate one of the reasons why it makes sense to have these things separate for Adam, not just Bichlal Mezikin. Okay, so now I want to move on to our next topic. This is the last topic in our... What? Well, there is no tzar for behemoth.
Or behemoth?
Well, because the animal is not considered to the nidon, right? He's not the thing that's wrong, it's the bialim that's wrong. And the bialim doesn't incur tzar for tzar of the behemoth. You know, unless it's like a real, like...
Truly empathetic.
Right. Very empathetic animal owner.
Very empathetic animal owner. Yeah,
right. Well, there's no tzar. Usually there's no tzar unless there's chavalah. Well, it's not chavalah. Chavalah is defined as chavalas adam ba'adam. If it's to an animal, then it's just adam hamazik. So this is our last part of the Tashlumei Nezikin sugya. Coincides very nicely with the limud. It's mostly discussed in the Perek HaKones. So there are a few aspects to this discussion about Shamin al Yidei Sadacher. The main question here is, there are a few ways to conceptualize it, but the main question is, how do we determine the thing that suffered the harm? How do we determine the Dabar HaNizak? And how we determine the Dabar HaNizak is going to create like a wide range of possibilities for how much the mazik is on the hook for. So in all these cases, mazik, you're some part of your sadeh. So do we say that I'm liable for the actual fruits that I destroyed? Like how much could you sell an apple for? How much could you sell a bag of apples for? Or do we say that what I really harmed is the sadeh, in which case the difference in net worth for this whole field, with or without these few apples, is almost considered to be negligent relative to the true worth of these apples. Right? Does everybody see that? So that's the Shamin al Yidei Sadeh Acher question. So the Mishnah introduces this in Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, "Ketzav Mishnah Lemes Masha Hezika Shamin Beisa Bosa Sada Kama Haisa Yafe Kama Hi Yafe." So it sounds like if the animal comes through regel and tramples on some of the produce, so you actually are shoving a base of the field, and that's how much you have to pay. So why do we have this din? Why are we shoving Agav Asada? Here's the Gemara's phrase. We don't evaluate the fruits on their own, but as against the value of the field. So why do we do it this way? Why is this a better rule than just figuring out how much the actual payros that were destroyed, how much they were worth? So Jonah, what do you think is the answer?
For
what?
Yeah, what?
For why we're shamin agav asadeh.
Doesn't the Torah give
you stay after? Yeah, and that's the one we just read. Right. But why are we shamin agav asadeh achar as opposed to the payros themselves? Good. So Rashi here says, "Shemen beis lavoso sada ain shemen aruga levada." As Rashi and him beis, if nei shemasid mazik. It sounds like we'd be causing the mazik a loss if he has to pay the value of the peros that were destroyed. Right? It's too steep an amount. Because that means shemen osa b'chol shaviyah. If we were to evaluate it at its full cost, so malam in shesamin al gavsa da acheres, the hashda lo mishalein kulu damel. And now, because of this rule of mishalein la yidei sada acher, the mazik is lo mishalein kulu damel. So what does that mean? Shelter.
My animal eats an apple, I'm not going to pay for the whole apple, I'm just going to pay what the field was depleted.
Ah. So that's what you think this means? Hashalom Mashan Kula Kameha of the apple?
I think so.
Yeah. That'd be a good reading of Rashi. You're saying the Aruga. Ain't Shaman is Aruga Lavadi. Nation Masa Niza. The Hashalom Mashalim Kula Kameha.
Why do we still care? It's actually the Kvata.
Yeah.
Even
if that's what Rashi means, and that's like an innocuous reading of Rashi. I thought Rashi meant he's not mishalim the total value of the Nezikim.
So what's
Dameh
referring to? What's the
Nekeva
there?
Saying Nezikin should always be the Zachar.
Right.
So I'll say, even if it's the Aruga, right, he's not paying like the full value of the Aruga. Right? So the question then is, so is Sirachi just saying like, we used to think this was the object of the Nezek, and now we realize that really the Sadeh is the object of the Nezek. That's how you're reading it, right?
I don't think that's how I read it.
How do you read that?
I don't think I'm switching the... I think according to Rashi, I'm not switching the object to the Nezik. The object to the Nezik is still the Aruga, but that's just not how we're evaluating it because of this convenience issue, because we don't want to cause too much hazard for the Mazik, we're going to evaluate based on the...
Okay, so if that's the way I was reading it, but I think that's problematic, meaning...
That's the way he was reading it.
That's the way I was reading it. Also,
okay.
I mean, so we don't have different readings.
Okay,
meaning, you can read this Rashi as saying, "In shaman esar ruga levada, if nation mazik mazik." It's like, wow, if we were to actually hold him liable for the actual damage that he caused, right? So he damaged that ruga, hold him liable for that aruga, he'd be paying too much, right? So we have this other way of figuring out the compensation, and now he doesn't have to pay the full value of the aruga, right? Now, you read it that way, you're like, gee, well, if you destroyed an aruga, what does that mean that we're at a mafsid mazik? The mazik's not mafsid, he's just paying what he owes in justice. Right? He has to pay for the losses that he caused. So, what does that mean? Why are we worried about him paying too much if that just corresponds to the object of the nezikin? And then our says, oh, b'hashal lo mashal inklu d'mat, now he's not paying like the full amount. Like, well, gee, why not? That's exactly what every mazik should have to pay. Jonah.
Just to emphasize the question further, the Gemara uses that exact lashon.
Yeah.
In the fifth parak.
Memzayin, and then also again in Hakones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the Gemara goes like, if that's the din, we should bring him, like, that's what he should be doing.
Yeah.
Says, no.
Memzayin, especially the Gemara.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's just kind of an ironic.
Exactly, in the Uber case.
Right. There it seems to be changing the object of the Nezek, where he says, no, I didn't damage a lot of damage to break the cap.
Exactly.
Right.
Actually, this is Rashi's formulation here, right? What's... In Rashi's formulation, so do you think he's making that kind of Memzayin argument? Or it's... That's how I thought you were reading it. It's like, oh, we thought that he's Mazik, that Ruba, Kamash Malani, he's Mazik, the Sada. That doesn't seem to be what Rashi's saying,
right?
It sounds like he's saying, like, yes, he's Mazik, the Aruga. Oh, we can charge him full value of the Aruga. That's not fair. So he doesn't pay that full amount. But then the question is, like, why is that not fair if that's the Nezikin that he caused? Noah.
It seems based off the Gemara on Inchet and Rashi on that Gemara that, like, there's a difference in paying for one Beitza versus paying for many seot of a son of a field. So if you pay for one as opposed to paying for many, it's a higher value. So the question is, are we evaluating based off of the cost of one bait sale, or are we evaluating the cost of this same aruga within a much larger field,
at
a smaller price?
Right. 100%.
Is that what we're talking about?
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Okay.
I mean, that's exactly the same. It's the same question. But the question is that how do you, why is one way of evaluating better than the other way of evaluating? Right? So I think that if there's some sort of back and forth here about we're trying to conceptualize what the object of the Nezek is, and there's some way of making sense of that. But it sounds like the Gemara has like these antecedent worries about charging the Mazik too much and whether he should be paying full value, and that whether we view the object of the nezek as the aruga or the sada is itself derivative of like some desire to structure the mazik's liability in the right way.
Or is it just that we don't know? Just that there are two
and suffix, and this is just some
Yeah, there's two different ways of evaluating it. We don't know which.
Yeah,
way
so we're trying to figure out the fairest way across, like most cases.
Or we're trying to figure out what the object of the nezek is.
Okay, so that's I'm not ruling that out. I'm saying for Masha doesn't sound that way. Isaac, what are you going to say?
I don't get where you're thinking. Like I don't get why you think it's not. Like I'm trying to figure out like, what is the object of the right, and now we'll determine whether like the object is paying too much or too little. Or different.
You're saying even in the Rashi.
Yeah.
You're just reading the Rashi the way I thought Seltzer was reading it.
Yeah, so I mean, you might have thought the Nezek was the Aruga Levada.
Right.
And what's the Mafsid Mazik then?
What's ridiculous. That's not what you destroyed. You destroyed the Aruga Levada. You destroyed part of the fields.
Kind of, you could have caused him not safer, no?
No. That is what Mafsid Mazik means. Especially in light of the Gemara earlier on, where the Gemara said Mafsid Mazik, and then gives it all back and forth. Oh, he knows what the question is.
So how does the Gemara then know what? Which one is considered to be the object of Nezikin?
That's a fair question, but I don't know, some sort of intuition about like, what's the trade here. Like the guy like has like a field full of...
So why does the Gemara determine the object of Nezikin based off Mafsid Mazik? It should be the other way around, right? First we should know what the object of the Nezik is.
It's not determining it based on what's Mafsid Mazik. It's saying it is Mafsid Mazik because the object of destruction is not an Aruga.
So Ein Shaman is Aruga Levada Mipnei Shem Mafsid Mazik.
The
Gemara, Rashi should say, "Ain't Shaman is Aruga Levada because he's not Mazik that Aruga
Levada." Right, and so then if you were a Shaman, Levada would be Mafsid Mazik.
But he doesn't tell you that, right? The Nezik occurred to the Sada as a whole.
Obvious and see the point.
If anything, I think Noah's answer is closer, meaning that it's a suffix. We don't. It's an open question which one of these things was damaged, the Sada or the Aruga, and so we need some decision procedure to get at a fair in between ground, which is what the Gemara is trying to get at. And that's good, like some sort of meeting point in between the Aruga versus the entire Sadeh.
Rashi's telling you what you can do. For Shaman Al Gavi, it's Sadeh.
Yeah.
Right? And he says that like, you can't do it the other way of just doing it by itself because that would cause too much loss to the Mazik. Okay? He doesn't explain to you like why that's an issue, but the simplest explanation for why that's an issue is because it's an unfair loss to the Mazik.
Right. Unfair relative to what? Unfair relative to what?
So, what do you mean unfair relative to what?
Well, it's unfair. Why is it unfair? Relative to the amount of damage he caused?
Yeah. Exactly. That seems to be the simplest understanding of why something's unfair.
So why is it unfair? Because it's not the amount he damaged?
Right.
Or maybe it's just like a Motzmei Chaver El Haraya thing. We don't know what he damaged, and so the burden of proof falls on the Nizak to prove that he damaged the Aruga.
So for me, I don't think it's that our customer is unfair. I think it's assumption that like if it's unfair it's because you didn't actually damage it. For you it's literally that your customer is safer, but it's just that then I'm listening to Havrela Varaya, which doesn't mention it at all.
I don't think it's the most of Havrela Varaya.
That's literally you just said.
I'm saying how do you know it's not? I don't think Rosh is going most of Havrela Varaya here. I think maybe this is just like a principle that
most of Havrela Varaya, you have to prove to me that is what the principle is.
Like is a mummist via here or something?
It doesn't mention what's going to go over. I don't know why you're like reading that into like the Rashi.
I'm not reading it in. I think Seltzer agrees with my reading, right? So Seltzer, what do you say back to Isaac? You deal with him. I don't know what to ask. You're not so worried about his question.
No. Alright,
take it outside. See that?
Sounds like an admission
of defeat. Okay. So I want to make a few general observations here. So the first point is that Chazanish goes back and forth on whether this observation is of the Gemara of Shaman Aydesha Sada Acher. Is that an obvious din or is that a chiddush? So he says, Hal Yesh La'ayim, Halo Bekli O Behema Sheyezika, Shaman Eskol Behema Kama Haysa Shava Bekami Shava Bezushim Asanezek. So for every Nezikin, we evaluate it based off the difference in value to the whole thing. In Canaan, didn't know saying Shaman Kalasada Kamanif Nisad the mouth. So it should be obvious that we evaluate the loss of Tuba for the value of the whole Sada. Is that a good point? Is that a bad point? He's saying that in general we do the evaluation based off the whole clear behemoth. So So of course, for a sada it should be that way. Why do we need exeris hakasa bubir v'sada acher to tell us shasham and agav asada? We always just evaluate the difference in value to the thing. Right? So for example, I damage your behemoth's arm, we don't calculate the difference in value to the arm, we calculate the difference in value to the behemoth.
And it's just a bad argument, because in those cases there's no other possibility. Here we don't know.
Well, the other possibility is like the difference in value to the arm. How much is an animal?
As opposed to what?
Well, difference in value to the animal or difference in value to the animal's arm?
I don't know. Why is that different? Why is it different? What's the opinion there?
They're different values to those things.
Yeah, but you still would have to pay the same. It would still be the same tashlum whether you do certain.
Well, they'd be different values.
I think the argument's relatively straightforward and just say that, yes, but there's not really a resale market for individual arms of behemoths while there is for fruit. And therefore, one just says that, like, no, when you damage six apples, then you're going to pay for six apples, because that's how it was sold in the marketplace. There's a very high demand for that. One doesn't necessarily assess the damage, per se, based on the whole field, but like, you can resell them as individual apples.
Yeah. So why not evaluate the difference in the price of the earth?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Well, it would be relative to what he has bylaws on.
Bylaws of the whole field.
That's not true anymore. So, to the extent
that your question is coherent, I would say the question is the relative worth of his estate.
But it's not even true that Mark said that it's a fixed amount that we evaluate. It's
the shishim thing.
Right.
So we'll get to the shishim in a minute. But that's also to try to figure out some sort of fair decision cost, right? So what is the Kazmish answer? V'yishlomar, and here again you see that this is like the same kind of essentialism that he has in other areas. Delo dami lekliu behema, dehasam hashivoi machmas shlemuso, uveshlemas. I think it must be zulaso must be here. Have kli, v'have behema, v'chol chelak eno kli v'lo behema, v'hahezek nase benifrad. Chelek mimenu. It must be chesek benifra chelek mimenu. V'hilkach hashuma al karchach b'chli. Aval acha tvua min asak, ein sham in kol asak, she'ein sak kone shein la'atzmo. El kol garin v'garin b'fnei atzmo. V'im acha min asak, mishalem es masha acha, im so asa av, im so sayim, so sayim. V'ya hadin no sayin digam v'acha, kam asa sada esham b'fnei atzmo. So, there's a lot happening in this piece. What do you take to be his main point? Seller.
The Devar HaNizak is the Aruga itself.
So, yeah, before we get to the Devar HaNizak, what's going on with the Kli and Behema stuff over here?
So, this is partial damage when it comes to the Kli or an animal. Like, it's Once you destroy it, it no longer functions.
It is traded. This word it should be surasa, I realized. So he's saying he has this kind of like essentialist ontology, right? So behema is just a behema, a kli is just a kli, and like when you're mazik a part of it, like you're mazik the whole thing. Right, so he doesn't recognize parts to animals. Like to be mazik a part of an animal is to be mazik the whole thing. To be mazik a part of a kli is to be mazik the whole kli. V'chol chilek ain't a kli below behema. I mean, you might say that begs the question, right? Make a taste that the Torah cares about the kli and the behema. The Torah cares about the localized end. But I'm not really sympathetic to this part of the argument here at all, right? What's the basis for this claim? Right? I mean, what's the basis for this?
Can't
localize
damage for
behemoths. Yeah. He's like, there's this conception of like full kalim and full animals, not their parts. Then he says, but then contrast that with a case where an animal eats some grain out of a sack. So clearly you don't pay the difference in value to the sack. You just pay the value of like the actual grain that was destroyed. Now, you might say, well, that's not obvious either. Right, maybe the whole point is that you still pay the difference in value to the sack. But he says, no, that's because like every seed that it eats has like its own shame. It's like its own entity. So for the Chazish, it all boils down to this like ontology of like what are individual items and what are not individual items. And then he says, So what's the key point for our discussion? Is that what you think he's saying? I mean, you would have thought, based on that logic, that each comma is its own thing, and so it's nezek per comma piece. So kamash malan, I guess, like maybe the Torah's machadesh that like there are no commas, they're just sadas. Right, we're trying to figure out like the ontology of things that exist according to the Torah. Kalim exists, behemos exist, seeds exist. You might have thought that commas exist, kamash malan, that only sadas exist. No? Seeds, so commas exist, but nevertheless you want to pay. That's the kamash malan?
Yeah.
How do you know?
So
that's right. It's
gut feeling. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you agree? I mean, what do you think? You think Isaac's read is right, or? You think Isaac's right?
Why? He builds it up so much with those first three sentences, those first three lines. Then he brings that case to...
So the concept is here is that normally we evaluate Nezikin based off things, and here it's not based off things.
Right, but the thing still exists. It's just the...
We're not evaluating Nezikin that
correct.
Way. Okay, it's possible reading. I think it creates like this more clunky system, right? Because then there's like, here's the rule, but this is like an exception to the rule. And, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with
Isaac. You agree with Isaac's reading?
Then it wouldn't be a fit.
What?
It wouldn't be a fit, according
to you. No, because you might have thought that these things exist. Kamash malan, they don't. Right? As I read it. As I would have read it.
Wait, what do you...
Your reading definitely fits better with like beat meaning.
The system.
Chazanish doesn't sound crazy with the way you're reading it. Like what he's Chazanish sound like his opinion is a little odd when you're reading it the way we are, but just the words that he's using it seems like what Isaac is interpreting in this chapter.
I mean, was that Chidshah Torah that like despite the fact that they exist, they touch them in a structure otherwise. Okay, I mean that's fair. I mean I don't have a strong view.
Does that Chidshah Torah
only status exist?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I don't agree with this part for sure. Not sure I agree about this part. I think the third issue is that I'm not sure that this claim could exist independent of this claim. Meaning, the reason why we evaluate all these other things based on the whole object is because the Torah establishes the precedent in Ubir Bistada Acher. So once we have the Xeris HaKasa of Abir Besad HaAcher, which teaches us the general rule that you go based off the larger item, that's why for Behema and Kalin, we evaluate based off the larger item. But the Chazanish reverses the order, right? He says, well, look, here's the paradigm. This we know. There's some question about how to apply it in this narrow case of Sadeh. So the Torah tells us how to apply it. As opposed to saying, the way I conceive of it, is that the Torah gives us the paradigm in the case of Sadeh, and that establishes the general rule that you always look for Nezek as incurred by the whole object. What?
I don't understand your objection.
You don't understand my point? Aitan, you want to explain them?
Yeah, what he's saying is that if the Torah established the fact that we're evaluating based on Sadeh Acher, and that's how we learn out the first sentence, why is he flipping the order and saying that, oh, we know that for limbs and for kalim that it's not partial stuff, but really it's the value of the
right.
entire
I mean, I'm saying that the reason why we know all this is because of this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we know all that because it's so obvious.
So let me motivate.
Behemoth, the thing we destroy. Thing we destroy, whether behemoth or kalim.
So let me motivate. So that's not the Chazanish's view.
It is.
I'm saying the Chazanish's view is like, yes, that we know these things independently.
Right.
We have some primitive ontology of objects which informs how we structure liability.
Right.
And you say, well, how do we know the Sadeh case? Is there a kasa? I'm saying that it's arguable the reason why we know these things is because of the rule that's established by the Sadeh case. Right? And you'll see, so I want to motivate that for a second. So if you look, for example, here in Bava Kamma and Zayin Amud Aleph, or in Gemara for our discussion, so the Gemara has an analogous discussion of somebody who harms someone who's mazik, a pregnant animal. So the debate is whether does he have to pay separately for the mother and for the full value of the fetus? Or do you evaluate the damage based off a fetus inside a mother calf?
Can you say that again?
So, ein shamu lepar b'fnei atzmo, levlad b'fnei atzmo, el shamu levlad al gav para. Right? So she'im yata omer kein nimtza ata makish es tamazin. Again, here the implication is that, like we saw earlier in Rashi, that makish es hamazik is somehow prior to knowing what the true item that was destroyed was. I mean, the Gemara here doesn't tell us what the object of nezikin is, and yet the Gemara seems to think that there's some problem of makish es hamazik. So you might have thought that first you have to figure out what incurred the damage, and then you can figure out whether we're charging the mazik too much. But both here and in Rashi, it seems like the Gemara has this antecedent conception of makish es hamazik before we nail down the object of nezikin. So that implies there's something else going on here than just trying to figure out what was destroyed. Jonah.
And just like going back to your most clear on the right point.
Yes, exactly.
I think there may be some, if one could say that it's kind of a toss-up maybe, meaning like these are both legitimate ways
exactly.
of assessing that Nezek, then saying like, oh, okay, well, if we can choose, you know, and then we can then evaluate these meta concerns.
Yeah.
Etc.
Exactly.
100%.
We'll see.
Later.
Well,
then we're rejected that 4 seconds later.
So 1 second. But the Gemara first said that the Gemara first threw out Makesh Samazek before it got to this. So we'll see the tension here throughout is going to be, are we just trying to figure out the object of Nezikin? Or are we trying to figure out a decision procedure for what's a fair amount to charge him, given that there is no clear object of Nezikin? Right. That's the. So, for example, like just to formulate that more crisply. So Zolti last Chabura said to me afterwards, like, well, you know, I don't understand why this is such a complicated issue. Just like hire the actuaries and they'll figure out how much it costs, like how much the thing is worth. But the response to that is that there is no morally neutral conception of just trying to figure out how much the thing is worth. Because anytime you're trying to figure out what the thing is, you're already smuggling in all these like value considerations about are we pro mazik, are we pro nizak, in just deciding how we're going to frame the object of nezek. And I think these gemaras are clearly showing that that's the case. We're not just saying like let's use some morally neutral principle to figure out what was destroyed. We're actually saying we don't know what was destroyed, so we have to have some sort of a fair. Morally fair procedure for figuring out how much he should pay. That we'll get to a little later. But what I want to show, what I'm trying to show now, is that contra the Chazon Ish, the reason why we have this general conception of evaluating nezikin agav the whole object is actually derived from a bir b'sada acher, not antecedent to it.
The Chazon Ish would say that Mark clearly rejects that entire one.
Which point?
Mark rejects the point that it's that makish hamazik is a valid consideration.
I'm not here yet. I'm not. This doesn't do the chazanish issue yet. Hold on. V'chein atamotze b'kodei yad atle shel chavero. V'chein atamotze b'mazik sada shel chavero. So the Gemara says, the Gemara here says that this idea of evaluating the vlad, agav the mother. Is the same principle that we find in Mazik Usada Shel Chavero, and by evaluating the worth of an Eved with or without a hand. Okay, so see, the Gemara says that these three things are connected. Shamanes Vlad Agavimo, Shamanes Yada Eved Agav Avdo, and Shamanes Aruga Agav Asada. Okay? The Rishonim, and the Rush says this explicitly, the Rush takes it even further in Perek Ches, that's Achovel. So the Rush here argues that when we evaluate Nezikin for an Adam in the case of Chavala, so how do we evaluate Nezikin for Adam in the case of Chavala? So my hand gets chopped off, you don't figure out the value of like a prosthetics, you figure about how much is my market value diminished based off of losing my hand. So it's the value of the whole person because of the local loss. So he said, where does that come from? Isaac, where does that come from? What's the makar for that shuma? What do you mean shrug?
They don't know. Stay up.
Yeah.
Stay up.
Yeah, good. So the Rush here says, Vishuma zu, this is the Rush on Anachobel, in the Chiv Chamisha Dvarim of Nezek. Vishuma zu lahakel. So notice that formulation. That is lahakel. So if it's all just trying to figure out what the true object of the Nezek is, then this formulation shouldn't, this formulation is incorrect. It's not lahakel. What?
Scripting.
Lahakel, I think Lahakel is descriptive. Lahakel is usually normative. Right?
Pretty ambiguous.
Yeah? You guys think this is really ambiguous? Donnie, you think it's ambiguous, Lahakel? Kidan, read on the El Beresh Paragraph part. How about Donnie?
It didn't seem so ambiguous.
In which way? Okay, and then he says, Lahakel, Isaac, look at this. V'vahakel b'chol shumos anu lemeidim miubir v'sada acher. Dan rator l'shmaruga agav sada. What? Okay, so now you're coming around after your protestations. Right, so here the Rosh is saying that the general rule that we're shamin agav the whole chayfetz is actually born out from shamin agav sada acher. And not only that, it's l'hakel. It's like, it's for the normative reason of like decreasing the mazik's liability. So, my point here is twofold. A, it seems like it's about some sort of decision procedure that's morally loaded. Almost like the opposite of tashlumei meitav. Right? Meitav seemed to be like to increase the position of the nizak in many cases. Here, like the shuma procedure seems to be to better the position of the mazik. And second of all, contra the Chazon Ish, it sounds like the general reason for evaluating agav, the whole object, is learned from a bir besad the acher kidei lahakel alav. It's not just a neutral question of determining what in fact was the object that was harmed.
What was that last point?
That it's not just about figuring out. So Chazon Ish is saying, look, it's all just trying to figure out what the object is. So the Torah has this ontology of objects. So an animal's an object, a kli's an object, a piece of grain is an object, a sack of grain is not an object. Right? That's not what's going on here. The whole point here is that we don't know what the right object of Nezek, we don't know what sustained the Nezek is, what object sustained the Nezek. And that's how we have this procedure of Lahakel. That in determining what item sustained the damage, we have this like fair procedure of Lahakel Alav.
I still don't understand why that's a preference.
So we'll try to figure that out. Okay. But for now, maybe you could just think of it in terms of Motzei Mechamer Yalav Arai or something.
Okay.
Right. Want to stop here? To Davin? Yeah. Let me just make one further point here. The Shita Mekubetzes in Erechin on Yitess and Beis. So the Gemara in Erechin there has this idea that if you say to me Yadi Alai, so you evaluate the Yad off the whole person, how much is the person worth with the Yad, without the Yad. You don't just look for the value of the Yad on its own. So the question is, where does this Erechin principle come from? So the Shita Mekubetzes there, Simon Tess, and off Yitess and Beis in Erechin, citing the Rush, so we saw the Rosh Nachovel already, says that this is also derived from the Zikin. Tema mash ma'achad v'hektish shaman yad agav haguf kimo bin azikin. V'koshed ha shaman bin azikin hayad agav haguf hainu tamishim nifsib bin azikin ubir b'sada acher. Melamit she shaman b'esa b'osu sada. So you see explicitly he says the reason why in the Zikin we evaluate the yad and chavala agav the guf is because of the gzeres hakosif ubir b'sada acher. Our case in Akones. So you see the Rosh and the Shittoso that even the Chavala concept of Nezikin is derived from the Mazik Aruga Bekarka. Okay, so the Rosh and the Shittoso. The Griz that I have here in page 160 in the back of the Sefer takes issue with this. He doesn't address the Rosh explicitly, but he's closer to the Chazon Ish camp, at least in thinking that Tashlumei Chavala have nothing to do with Shaman Ayidei Sada Acher. And there's some independent reason. It's inconceivable to him that we could derive the principles of Tashlumin for Chavala from the cases of Tashlumei Nezikin Baruga Bikarga. He thinks you can't derive principles of Chavala from Mammon. But we'll talk about that more on Wednesday. So on Wednesday, I want to just get more into this question of Shumas Nezikin and Slahakel. Why are we going to Lahakel? Like Noah's asking. What does it reflect? So you have all the mamakomos here. And then I want to get into this question of why agav shishim. Why is that the proper way to evaluate it? And what exceptions are there to this rule? So we'll see if there are novim umdos klibatzer, then they're not shaman agav akarka. If there's something that is dover chashuv, it's not evaluated agav akarka, it's evaluated on its own. So whatever reason there is for going agav karka, why do those reasons not apply in these exceptional, these supposedly exceptional cases? All right? Okay, good.